I wanted to share some stories about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zatzal, and maybe some Divrei Torah and thoughts as well. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was one of the Gedolim of the last generation. He died a little more than 10 years ago. He was the younger brother of Rav Soloveitchik. He was 15 years younger than the Rav. And he had an interesting situation that he grew up in a home where his older brother, as well as his father, were Gedolim. When Rav Aaron was 9 or 10, his brother was 24, 25. He had already mastered Kol HaTokula, the Rav, the Rav Soloveitchik from YU. And Rav Aaron would talk about this, what it felt like, the experience of growing up in a home where your older brother, and as well as your father as well as your older brother, were mamish Gedolei Ador. So he tells the story as follows. Rav Aaron said that my father never hit me as part of my education. But one time, Rav Aaron said, my father threatened to hit me. What happened? He said, I was 8 or 9 years old, and it was Yom Kippur. I wanted to fast. So I fasted at night. And then, in the morning, my father told me to eat before going to shul. But I didn't eat. I didn't want to eat Yom Kippur. And I was in shul and I was davening. And towards mincha time, I leaned over to my brother, Rav Yoshe Be'er, and I told him, I'm still fasting. Now the briskers are machmir in a lot of things in halacha, and they're also very machmir in safek pikuach nefesh, which means they're mekel about these types of things, that you have to eat, if there's even a safek, a chshash of a safek, of sakan. So Rav Aaron said, my brother told on me to my father. He said, Aaron's still fasting, so my father told me, you have to go home and eat. And he took me home and put food in front of me. You have to eat. It's dangerous for you to fast the whole day. I said, Tati, I don't want to eat a Yom Kippur. And he said, you have to eat. And my father chased me around the table. You have to eat. And finally, my father said, Aaron, if you don't eat, I'm going to have to hit you to punish you. So then I ate something and went back to shul. So you see from here, if the only time your father has to threaten to hit you is when you're a young boy and you want to fast on Yom Kippur and your father is telling you to eat, then you have a pretty good chance maybe of being a future Gadol Hador. Oh. There's a beautiful story. There's a beautiful series of books called Touched by a Story. Really beautiful stories. And there's a story about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in one of these books, in the first volume, page 43-44. Rav Aaron, for many years, lived in Chicago, and he flew to New York to give shiur in YU. Then he would fly back to Chicago for, you know, Thursday through Sunday. He would give shiur in the yeshiva in Chicago Thursday through Sunday, and during the middle of the week he would give shiur in New York. So he was often on the airplanes. Rav Aaron was a particularly friendly person and easy to talk to and a very easy smile. So an Orthodox Jew went to a Chicago's Bear football game, Chicago Bears football game at Soldier Field. And he was there, and one of the people sitting next to him, turns out they were talking, they had some common business interests, and they exchanged business cards. So the person sitting next to the Jew was not Jewish. And he saw his business card, and he saw the Jewish name. He said, oh, you're Jewish? He goes, yes. He said, well, you know, I know one Jew in Chicago. I said, what's his name? His name is Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron had just died earlier that winter. So the Jew told his neighbor there, I'm sorry to tell you, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had just passed away. So the non-Jew was was very saddened, and lost his wife right away. And you could tell, as he was talking, she was crying. He was trying to calm her down. So what happened? So it's like this. It turns out that his wife was a stewardess for American Airlines, and she saw Aaron each week on his flight from Chicago to New York. Quote, he sat in first class. Most of the passengers in first class pretty much ignored the flight crew, but the rabbi took a genuine interest in the welfare of my wife and the rest of the crew. He knew their families and all the important things that were happening in their lives. So my wife feels like she has lost someone special in her life. The story concludes. The Rav could have kept to himself or on his flights. Everyone else did. But instead he had decided to make a difference, to make a Kiddush Hashem. Beautiful story. Oh, the Rav Aaron had such an impact on people that the non-Jewish stewardess was genuinely saddened when he passed away. He was extraordinarily careful in Kavod HaBrios. I remember once I was attending a shir. It was a shir for young men and young women. There was a mechitza down the middle of the room. Rav Aaron had a stroke, a serious stroke, and it was very hard for him to walk. He had a heavy walker, and when he would sit, he would like to sit at an angle to the table, almost at a 90 degree angle, so that he could rest his arm on the table and it wouldn't shake so much. We noticed that as he was about to start the shiur, he shifted his chair. It took tremendous effort on his part. And as he was doing this, we heard him mumble. I was sitting in the front row. He mumbled to himself, "It's not proper to sit this way." What had happened was the original way he was sitting, at that 90 degree angle to the table, he was basically facing directly away from the women. And he felt to give a shiur facing mamash the other direction wasn't good. So therefore he adjusted his chair in such a way that he was at an angle and not facing directly away, even though it was very uncomfortable for him to sit that way. These are examples of Rav Aaron. Those shiurim he gave were fabulous. They were Parsha Hashkafa shiurim. And at the time of Aaron was weak, he was old, he had a hard time while he would walk with a heavy walker. It took him a very long time to walk through the room. And what was incredible to see was the power of the Mesorah, the power of Torah. That as he was walking, as the shiur started, this old man was breathing heavily. He came to life. And the shiur went on for 2 hours, from around 8:15 till 10:15. We stopped for Maariv. And had we not stopped for Maariv, he would have gone on longer. And it was incredible. You saw that when someone's plugged into the Mesorah, so they derive chiyus from the Mesorah. They're not on their own. They're with all the Rabbanim. People who saw the Rav give shir, the Rav Zatzal later in his life, saw the same thing. He would come to life as he was giving shir. It's an incredible chizuk for one's emunah to see the power of Torah flow through a person as he's giving a shir. Oh, I want to share two short divrei Torah from Rav Aaron, which I heard myself. One is as follows. It's about the idea of the proper approach to learning reasons for mitzvos. It's interesting, the word ta'am means reason, and the word ta'am means flavor. What's the message of that? Of that point? Rav Aaron said as follows. The reasons for mitzvos are not the essence of the mitzvah, rather, they add flavor to the mitzvah. And he explained as follows. He said, mitzvos are like vitamins. Mitzvos are like vitamins. You go to a doctor and you're run down and he says, take a certain vitamin. We trust the doctor. We do what he says. Even if we don't understand exactly how this vitamin helps this particular problem, but the doctor has all that training, many, many years, We tend to trust the doctor. And we take the vitamins. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. They're good for us in Olam Hazeh. They're still good for us in Olam Haba. And if we trust the doctor, then Kal v'chomer, ben beno shel Kal v'chomer, we have to trust Hashem, obviously. And if Hashem says do a mitzvah, we do the mitzvah. Goes without saying. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. Now, vitamins don't always taste so good. But you take them anyway, because you know they're good for you. Now, the reason for the mitzvah adds flavor to the mitzvah. This means, sometimes if a person understands the mitzvah better, he gets more excited about the mitzvah. We do mitzvahs because Hashem commanded us to. That's why we do mitzvahs. We don't do mitzvahs because of the reason. We do mitzvahs because Hashem commanded us. However, if you understand the reason for the mitzvah, then you get a geshmak, oh, that's what I'm doing. Often you get more excited, more of a geshmak, and you're excited about the mitzvah. So the reason adds flavor. If mitzvahs are like vitamins, then mitzvahs with reasons we understand, mitzvahs with good reasons we understand are like Flintstones vitamins. Oh, I think nowadays I'd have to say gummy bear vitamins. It's a beautiful idea. That mitzvahs are like vitamins. Mitzvahs with good reasons are like Flintstones vitamins. They're not the essence of the mitzvah, they add flavor. The tam of the mitzvah, the reason, adds flavor to the mitzvah, although it's not the essence of the mitzvah itself. I want to show one more beautiful idea from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. After completing the Arach HaZaka, the Rambam writes a short tefillah of praise to Hashem. Baruch mi she'amar v'haya ha'olam b'chlalo u'v'frato. Blessed is He, Hashem, who spoke and created the world. One can raise two questions regarding this short tefillah. First, why does the Rambam choose this particular way of describing Hashem? Also, what is the meaning and significance of the phrase b'chlalo u'v'frato? So first of all, Baron explained the phrase b'chlalo u'v'frato based on the following mashal he heard from his mother. If two people, one a scientist and the other a poet, were asked to describe a forest, they'd probably respond in different ways. The scientist would walk into the forest and probably analyze every tree and classify each type of flower, look under every bush and gather as much specific data as possible. Then he would present a report describing the inner workings of every item in the forest. The poet, on the other hand, would enter an airplane and fly over the forest in order to see the beauty of the forest and all its grandeur and sweep. He would then write a poem describing the magnificence of the forest as a whole. A scientist focuses primarily on the prat, while the poet focuses on the klal. A Jew is commanded to appreciate Hashem's greatness through nature and proclaim Marabu Masach Hashem. This appreciation, Rav Aaron explained, should be both that of a scientist and a poet, b'chol u'v'frato. On the one hand, the complexity inherent in the life cycle of even a single leaf, prat, inspires recognition of Hashem's greatness. A leaf receives nourishment directly from its branch, the branch is nourished through the trunk from the roots from a water source deep in the ground. A leaf eventually dies, falls to the ground, decomposes, and ultimately rejuvenates the soil around the tree to help more leaves grow in the future. At the same time, however, each leaf is part of a tree. The forest part of a hillside, the hillside part of a landscape, and so on. The awesome beauty of nature as a whole, klal, reflects Hashem's greatness as well. This is the meaning of the Rambam's phrase, b'chlalo u'v'frato. He is praising Hashem as being the creator of both the klal and the prat of the natural world. The same thing of klal and prat applies to Torah. Each pasuk or parsha in the Torah is precious. One can study a single pasuk for weeks and be continuously inspired by its complexity and varied lessons. However, when one understands how a pasuk in Yirmiyahu sheds light on a difficult text in Yechezkel, or a Mishnah in Kiddushin connects with a Mishnah in Gittin, then one is inspired even more
In the Adah Chazaka, the Rambam codified and classified Kol HaTorah Kula. Certainly, the Rambam appreciated the Zechus of understanding even one halacha well. However, upon completing the Adah Chazaka, the Rambam can now look back and fully understand how Kol HaTorah Kula fits together as a whole. The halacha Nilchus Brachas connects with Hilchus Tefillah and Eidus connects with Hilchus Dayanim. Rav Aaron explained that Kol HaTorah Kula is like a beautiful painting, and each halacha in the Rambam is like one brushstroke. Beautiful metaphor. The Rambam now saw and appreciated the whole picture. Bichlalu v'frato. This might explain why the Rambam chose this particular way